You've probably heard the Amazon rainforest described as the lungs of the earth. It's not just a cute phrase. A significant amount of the earth's oxygen is generated in tropical rainforests. Trouble is, people can often make more money cutting rainforests down and putting some kind of agricultural operation on the land. And that is where the Rainforest Trust gets busy. The trust works hard to protect rainforests from the encroachment of civilization through a variety of means. Let's hear about the accomplishments of the last year. Dr. Paul Salomon is the Chief Executive Officer for the Rainforest Trust and our guest in the exchange. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Jeffrey. Great to be with you.
It's good to have you here. If you would, a bit of a thumbnail sketch. Give us the major thrust of the work at the Rainforest Trust.
Sure. We focused on protecting rainforests for the last 30 years. It's actually our 30th anniversary this year. So far, we've helped protect over 18 million acres of tropical rainforest across 45 countries in the tropics. And really, we've kind of focused on the purchase and permanent protection of areas, primarily in the Amazon, in the Congo Basin of Africa, and across Southeast Asia. And so we do that with local partners, and we're focused on saving the most endangered species. And of course, as you mentioned, we're trying to protect the lungs of the planet and the other great important reasons for protecting the rainforests, of which there's many.
So over 30 years, 18 million acres protected, and I read that last year it was 1.2 million, which sounds like a pretty good-sized haul for 1 year.
That's right. Yes, we have in many countries, we were decisive in identifying that those rainforests are greatest risk, areas that were earmarked for logging or road projects. And so we made decisive actions working with indigenous communities and local conservationists to either purchase or get those areas designated as permanent protected areas and stop the logging.
How do you feel like you're in a race with time here? I mean, it seems like there's constant pressure to do the kinds of economic activities you're talking about, which then would create additional pressure on the Rainforest Trust to try to get its work done.
That's exactly right. I mean, there's no doubt that one of our greatest challenges is to protect these areas while we can. We're having an area the size of Virginia that's destroyed in rainforest every year, 25 million acres. And so our 18 million is just a drop, but we are really ratcheting that up at the moment. And we're working, for example, this year to protect over 10 million acres this year alone. So it is a great challenge, but we're also realizing that one of the greatest other challenges is actually awareness about the issues and just how important rainforests are for folks back here in Oregon, California, across the U.S.
So how do you deal with the economic pressure in particular? I mean, because when you think about the fact that, you know, somebody's looking at, well, you know, I can make a product out of this land either by selling the trees off or by having an agricultural product that comes off this land that has far more value to me than this rainforest standing here. How do you counter the big incentive there?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of countries across the tropics that are aiming to develop, and they see rainforest really as almost a wasteland. They're not seeing the true benefits. But actually, there are many really important benefits to local communities, to countries in these areas, whether it's fresh water for the communities or whether it's sustainable resources and products from the forest. But also it's just a lot of the rainforest areas actually are not necessarily the best soils, so they're not good for agriculture. Within a couple of years, those soils are become very impoverished and wastelands. And so we're looking really at decisive actions in the most important areas that are not necessarily good for agriculture, where we can really set aside large areas of rainforest, but also ensure that countries can still develop. So he's trying to find that balance, really.
Dr. Paul Salomon's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the Chief Executive Officer at Rainforest Trust. We're talking about accomplishments in protecting land last year, 1.2 million acres last year alone, 18 million acres over the 30 years of the Rainforest Trust's existence. Your questions and comments and interrogatives about what's going on in the rainforest and how it can be protected. Welcome here at the Exchange, 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. You mentioned involving indigenous people in your efforts. Talk about that, if you would.
So Certainly. There are many areas of tropical rainforest where indigenous communities still reside. They still depend on these areas. But sadly, many of them are not recognized. They don't have land rights, and they have very limited human rights. And so we're working with those communities to get their lands recognized, to get them titled, and to ensure that they are the legal owners. And the reason that we do that is not just because it is their land and it's the right thing to do. It's actually really important because if that land is not given, is it's not recognized, it ends up becoming logging and mining concessions, and the area companies can go in and clear these areas even with people living there. So it's really important to work with these communities and get areas recognized. Okay,
which must be tricky because you're not just dealing with the legal issues of land titles and things like that, but there's also, I'm sure, political issues in recognizing the rights of groups that have heretofore generally not exercised them.
That's right. Certainly, some countries are better at doing it than others, and we are working primarily in countries like Peru and Indonesia and others to get those folks that have always resided in these areas recognized.
Is there one country in particular that causes the most headaches for the Rainforest Trust, the greatest minefield to try to navigate through?
Not really. I think all of them are open. I mean, I think most of the countries, once we explain the importance and what's going on, they are very willing to cooperate, actually. We've been surprised. Often it's just raising that awareness. It's helping local conservationists and communities, working with them, giving them the technical capacity. And really, governments have been open to this. I think that the greatest issue is that there's a lack of awareness of the importance of these areas, both in the U.S. but all across the tropics. And so we really need to raise that, the stature of rainforests, just how important they are. I mean, one of the things, Jeffrey, that we're finding is that while you mentioned oxygen is produced from rainforests, but you know they in the reverse is they lock up vast quantities of carbon dioxide. Rainforests hold tremendous reservoirs of carbon dioxide. Obviously, it's part of the process of photosynthesis. So having that carbon then released when they're destroyed really exacerbates and greatly accelerates the issues we're facing with climate change. So we need to know about that.
You were talking about working with people in the countries, and I just wonder about the approach there. If the Rainforest Trust tries to work more or less through the offices of organizations that already exist, rather than trying to look like the people from overseas trying to do something.
Absolutely. All of our work is by local conservationists and indigenous communities and local communities on the ground. We don't own any acres. We always make sure that we empower, provide technical support, and really and the resources needed to make things happen in these countries. And so we don't have any offices overseas. We're not the people that actually do the work on the ground. We're just providing that capacity to make it happen. And I think that's really important when you talk about setting aside land or national parks or buying areas. If it was a foreign entity, there's a great risk that it could create resentment. So we certainly see it's important to work through these local people.
So if you don't own any acres at the Rainforest Trust, what's the usual set of mechanisms without getting too far off into the legal and real estate weeds?
Certainly. Well, we spend a lot of time working with local partners in country that have got a great track record, good governance, and transparent. And we work with those organizations to help purchase areas. And we make sure we stand with them. And we've done so for the last 30 years of making sure these areas continue to be protected and are permanently locked up as rainforest. So in a nutshell, that's what we do.
Are there places you haven't reached yet with the Rainforest Trust, countries that have significant rainforests that are endangered that you just haven't had a chance to get a foothold in for whatever reason, economic or political or whatever?
Yeah, we do. Actually, there is one country that's very high priority, and that's a part of Indonesia called Papua, which is, Papua New Guinea, but the west side of the very big island, one of the largest in the world, is totally covered, almost totally covered in rainforest, but is now a major Many, many companies have got their eyes on destroying this area for African oil palm plantations and for mining. And so we're very eager to help local indigenous communities get their land recognized to stop this from happening.
And is that a slow-going process in Indonesia?
It is. It is a slow-going process, but we're building capacity and we're hoping to take off in that area this year.
Dr. Paul Salomon, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, Chief Executive Officer at Rainforest Trust. We are talking about protection of tropical rainforests around the country, the lungs of the earth, so to speak. You can join the conversation at 800-838-3760 on the phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. We've talked about indigenous peoples and people on the ground in the regions where you're working. Haven't talked much about the non-human creatures. I mean, you have some fairly significant examples of ways in which you've been able to identify creatures that would be endangered by the removal of rainforest.
That's exactly it. There's several billions of acres of rainforest across the planet, and we cannot protect all of it. We know that development is taking place. We wish we could, but we can't. So what we do is we try to focus in on the areas that are really the most important for indigenous communities, but also for wildlife. And we do that using a red list of endangered species that's internationally recognized, and we home in on those species that are close to extinction, where their options for protection are limited, and if we don't make a decisive action now of protecting them, they will go extinct. So we work to identify what species are at greatest risk and where we can protect them, and we're moving directly into these areas to try to save those species.
Is it generally amphibians? It seems like frogs come up a lot in the discussion of what goes on with Rainforest Trust.
Well, all life on Earth we think is precious. We really feel that it's not just elephants. I mean, elephants are fantastic. I mean, amazingly intelligent animals, and it's sad to see some of the issues going on for them. But really, we also care about even the things that are overlooked, amphibians, snakes, insects, and plants. Is a phenomenal array of unique plants that are extremely important, potentially very important for medicinal purposes and other things, that are being lost. Every day, species are going extinct. So we're really trying to focus and capture all life on Earth and preserve them while we can.
Paul, have you ever had to take half a loaf? I mean, to be able to just say, okay, well, we can't protect the whole thing, so we'll protect this or these strips because at least it gives contiguity for animals. I mean, have you had to settle in some cases?
We try not to settle. The truth is that we look for really strategic actions. One of our biggest, for example, was the establishment of a massive new national park in the Amazon of Peru, and it shut down a vast area of the border of Brazil where the Brazilians were trying to get roads across into Peru to open up basically a treasure chest of rainforest that was, in perfect, pristine condition. And so we established that park to lock down the border and stop access. And it protected a vast area. So we're looking for actions that really block, basically development activities to destroy rainforests. And so, yes, there's compromises invariably with certain things, but we definitely try to make the biggest impact possible.
You mentioned one of the issues in Papua is that there's an interest in mining in the rainforest there. And I just wonder, in general, do rainforests tend to sit over areas that tend to be minerally rich?
Unfortunately, yes. We're seeing that there are many, for example, in the Amazon of Peru, there's huge reservoirs, reserves of oil and gas. In Papua, there's phenomenal concentrations of rich and rare minerals that are used from everything from computer chips on through. And so there's really great interest to get in and access these areas. And invariably, the mining footprint is relatively small, but the problem is it provides access then for hunters, then colonists, and then ultimately agriculture. So they open up areas and vast tracts are then destroyed.
So one of the major goals, it seems like, is just to prevent entry in the first place, to get an area protected before roads get built in there.
Exactly. We're really, Jeffrey, in a critical pivotal moment for the protection of rainforests. We feel that road plans and development plans across many countries often aided from financing from Asia and elsewhere, is really an effort to destroy as much of the areas as possible. And we have a very narrow window, virtually the next few years, to identify these areas and try to protect them while we can. And so if we can do that, we really are, you know, establishing a really important, it's going to be really significant for all of humanity in the sense that it's, you know, it's the oxygen we breathe, locking up carbon dioxide, helping avoid the full impacts of climate change and things like that. So we need to do this very quickly.
And it sounds like you've got big plans for this year, for 2018. Did you mention 10 million acres you're seeking to preserve this year?
That's correct. We have many projects that are actually in operation at the moment. It's in over 45 countries, and we're establishing a whole series of land purchases and designations of national parks across the tropics. We're very grateful for the individual support of donors across the U.S. and other countries to facilitate this, and we're really ratcheting up to make an impact.
Is that the major source of funding, individual donors?
That's correct. We don't take any government funding, we have a very lean administration. It actually accounts for less than 2% of our entire organization. We really try to get our funds on the ground and what our donors want to do. So we don't have a large administration staff. We really focus on individual support to get the action where it's needed.
We're almost out of time. We've established about 20% of the world's oxygen comes from rainforests. Do you ever feel like you can really relax for long, or does it feel like there's a lot of pressure to keep moving?
It's a tremendous amount of pressure, Jeffrey, to keep moving. We really, now more than ever, I really feel that with a huge human population growing, the need for resources, unfortunately, tropical forests bear the brunt of destruction. And these resources are often wasteful. As I say, agriculture is not profitable. It's not even productive in these areas. So we really need to step up these actions now while we can.
All right, Dr. Paul Salomon, thanks for joining us today. Chief Executive Officer of the Rainforest Trust. Good to talk to you.